I'm the Gypsy, and you're not, and this is the Rubber Biscuit Road Show, presented by Artist Alley Studio, featuring the artisan, handcrafted, and branded creations of the Gypsy and Mad Hatter at www.artistalleystudio.com. And now, on with the show. Welcome to episode 26 of the Rubber Biscuit Road Show. I am your host, the Gypsy. Hey, how's it going out there on this wet, cold, dark, and dismal day? I'm telling you what, I was going to try and get out and do some riding today on Silver Streak, my motorcycle, but unfortunately, that didn't happen because it's just, I don't know. You know, we're in Kansas, so it really can never make up its mind what type of weather it's going to be, whether we're going to be cold or whether we're going to be hot or somewhere in between. And speaking of the weather here in Kansas, I want to give a quick shout-out to the folks over in Andover, Kansas, who went through a pretty bad tornado this past weekend. I understand it had sustained winds of 164 miles per hour, was on the ground for about 13 miles, destroyed over 300 buildings, and damaged over 600 more, but nobody was killed, thank the Lord, okay? There were no deaths involved. There were a couple of injuries, a couple of them being firemen that were helping in the rescue efforts, but you know what? If you have to have a tornado, at least it was a type of tornado where there weren't deaths involved. That's all I have to say, and I thank the Lord for that. Kansas weather, I'm telling you what. I mean, it's a good thing that we do not have bears here in Kansas. I'm telling you, really, honestly. Because if we had bears in Kansas, they wouldn't know whether to hibernate or whether to get up and forage for their spring food. They wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't know whether to go out and go to church or whether to go poop in the woods or, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, the old joke, you know, is a bear Catholic, does the Pope poop in the woods, and, I really gotta say this, is there anyone out there besides myself that Charmin commercial with the bear's butts, does anyone besides me find that kind of disgusting, honestly? Now, I guess I find it disgusting because I used to be a zookeeper at one time, and I know what a bear's butt looks like, and a bear's butt is a very disgusting portion of the bear. Of course, it's a disgusting portion of any animal, but on a bear especially. So every time I see that Charmin commercial to where they're like showing the little bear with the itchy butt, or they're just talking about the bear butts in general and how the Charmin gets it clean, trust me, a 24-pack of the Mega Row of Charmins would not get a single bear butts clean. I'm telling you right now. Bear butts are dirty, they're nasty, and that commercial aggravates me. Of course, I guess there's a lot of commercials that aggravate me. I miss the days of Mr. Whipple saying, please don't squeeze the Charmin. I mean, that was a nice commercial. But just commercials in general, I think they actually try to see exactly how disgusting they can be. I think they should have an award for the most disgusting commercial that you can even possibly imagine. My goodness. There's one commercial. Yes, we know that women have feminine hygiene needs. We're well aware of it. And for years, we've had to watch you pour blue liquid onto pads and everything else under the sun. But have you seen the one where they're pouring the red liquid onto the pad? I mean, seriously. I'm sorry. I know it's a natural part of life. I know it's a natural bodily function, but we really don't need to see red liquid poured onto the pad. We understand what the pad is for. Actually, we don't need to see any liquid poured onto any pads for whatever reason. It just, like I said, I think they actually go out and try to be as disgusting as they possibly can. Years ago, one day I was sitting in the studio, slow day in the studio, middle of winter. I think it was snowing nasty outside, so I'm just kind of watching some TV, you know, kick back, take some personal time there. And this commercial comes on. And it is this well-known supermodel, and she's talking about stuff that you use for a yeast infection, Vagisil, I think it is. Anyway, she does this commercial for Vagisil. Then the next commercial that comes up, and I kid you not, it was the same supermodel, and she's talking about feminine hygiene sprays. Then the commercial after that, and this is no joke, same supermodel, and she's talking about feminine protection. There was one more commercial in this set of four, and it was the same supermodel talking about Summer's Eve douche. I'm sorry, by the time these commercials were done, I knew more about that model's vagina than I ever wanted to know in my entire life. And I don't know what they were thinking by putting those commercials back to back, but they did nothing for me. I don't know if they did anything for anyone else, but they definitely did not make me want to go out and buy Summer's Eve, I can assure you of that. Anyway, I need to get off these commercials because there's a lot of them out there that just really aggravate me. I know the advertisers are paid to, you know, entice you and bring you in and make you remember their commercials. And I guess from what I've just said here that I obviously remember some of these commercials, but I remember them because they're disgusting or because they're unnecessary, they're uncalled for. You can make a commercial without the shock value, and I think that's actually what they're trying to do. They're trying to have the shock value. I actually enjoy commercials like with Flo from Progressive. I like the Geico, the Gecko Geico, Geico Gecko, whatever you want to call him. Speaking of, funny story here. When was it? It was 2007. 2007 Sturgis. For those of you that don't know, the Black Hills Rally takes place every August up in Sturgis, South Dakota. It is one of the oldest motorcycle rallies in the world. It is also probably the biggest. You know, they say it's the biggest. Laconia may give it a run for its money, who knows, but it is huge. It's massive, so a lot of advertisers take the opportunity to advertise to bikers. Well, I was rolling down the interstate westbound out of Rapid City, South Dakota, towards Sturgis, and there was a Geico billboard there with the Gecko on it, and it was advertising, of course, motorcycle insurance. And I looked at the billboard, and I started laughing my butt off, and I got into Sturgis, and I had memorized the 800 number on the billboard, and I called the 800 number, and I got this nice lady on the phone. And I said, hey, I thought I'd give you some feedback about your billboard at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally and Races, the Black Hills Classic. She said, yes. I said, yeah, I saw it, the one between Rapid City and Sturgis. She said, oh, good, it's visible. They got it up. We didn't know if they were going to get up in time. I said, yeah, it's definitely up. A couple of things you might want to know. And she says, yes, what's that? I said, Sturgis is actually spelled S-T-U-R-G-I-S. It is not spelled S-T-U-G-I-S. She goes, what? I said, yeah, they dropped the R. I said, oh, and motorcycles are spelled M-O-T-O-R-C-Y-C-L-E. I said, motorcycle is not spelled M-O-T-O-R-C-Y-L-E. And she says, you're kidding, right? And I said, no, I'm serious. I said, they misspelled it. I said, but that isn't the best part. And she says, oh, God. And I said, the best part is that Geico. And she said, they misspelled Geico. I said, yeah, I didn't know there was a K in your name. And she says, oh, dear Lord. And I said, yeah, I said, that billboard is totally messed up. And she's like, oh, thank you for letting us know. We'll try to get someone out there immediately. She says, see, this is what happens when you do a rush job. And I said, well, hopefully you don't do a rush job when it comes to insuring your people that you want to insure. And she says, good point. Anyway, I thought it was really great that this whole billboard had been totally, completely misspelled. And it cracked me up. And especially in South Dakota. Especially a billboard in South Dakota having a blunder on it. And I know that may sound odd, but back when Betty Ford was First Lady of the United States, she took a bus tour of America. It was a big thing. All the news media was following her around and what have you. And she was taking a tour through South Dakota, and at that time, South Dakota had more billboards than they probably had population. Well, Mrs. Ford got really, really upset because there were so many billboards. She was able to influence legislation to get passed to where there can only be so many billboards within a mile distance or within a 10-mile distance, whatever it is, but there can only be so many billboards within a certain distance, especially along the interstate highways. So I don't know what the exact number is that you can have, but if you're driving down the interstate, take a look at a billboard. And I'm not talking in the city limits. I'm talking outside the city limits. Take a look at a billboard, okay? Then count how long your odometer reading is to the next billboard. Now, the same rules don't apply for inside the city. I guess you can just plaster billboards all over the place inside the city. But along our interstate highway system, God, talk about tripping over my own tongue, interstate highway system and along our U.S. highways, you can only have so many billboards for so many miles. So for them to make a mistake on a billboard in South Dakota, it's kind of ironic, wouldn't you say? Speaking again of billboards in South Dakota, I don't know how many of you have ever been along I-90 in South Dakota, but there's like two prominent signs that you see. Once you hit Sioux Falls and you head west out of Sioux Falls, you see these two signs all the time. And then as you get a little bit further on, there's a third sign thrown in, and then a little bit further on, there's a fourth sign thrown in. So there are four signs that dominate Interstate 90 between Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Rapid City, South Dakota. First one is Wall Drug, advertising your free glass of ice water. The next one is for the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota. Then you get to find out about the Auto Museum, and that is in, I can't remember the name of it, Murdoch, South Dakota? No, that don't sound right, but it's something like that. And then there are billboards for Rushmore, okay? So you have these four signs that kind of dominate the landscape, and all along 90 there, but the one that gets me is Wall Drug. Now, Wall Drug advertises itself as the world's largest drugstore, right? And it is pretty big. It takes up quite a bit of area, and they're famous for their free glass of ice water, okay? Free glass of ice water started back in the late 1920s and 1930s. A pharmacist had purchased this drugstore in Wall, South Dakota, and people were just driving by on the new U.S. highway that went through there. I think it was U.S. 40, if I remember right, but I can't remember for sure what it is. Anyway, they were on the U.S. highway going through there. And the pharmacist couldn't get anyone to stop. You know, besides selling drugs to the very small population there, right? he sold other things too. You know, he sold sundries, he sold goods, stuff that people traveling on a highway across the barren South Dakota plains could use, but nobody was stopping. Well, his wife one day mentioned how thirsty the people in the automobiles looked and how it'd be nice if they offered them some water, so they put up a sign, free ice water. And thus was born Wall Drug, and it is really, really something to see. If you've never seen it before, you definitely need to check it out. It's right there. It's like the gateway to the Badlands, and the Badlands are something that you have got to see. Put that on your bucket list. By the way, I just remembered what it is. It's Myrtle Murdo, South Dakota. That's where the Automobile Museum is. Sorry, Murdo, I mispronounced your name there. Anyway, getting back to the Badlands, you know, if you are going through South Dakota and you don't go to the Badlands, you've really messed up. They are so beautiful. And, I mean, don't take my word for it. Right now there's a show on Paramount Plus, and it's called Aerial America. See if you can find it. It's a documentary by the Smithsonian Institute, and the very first episode on there is the Badlands. So you can check out the Badlands from, you know, from your couch, but it's nothing like seeing it in person. We had some family members that went on vacation up in that area last summer, and I told them you have to go through the Badlands. Well, they drove by the Badlands on Interstate 90, which just barely touches the edge of the Badlands, and they thought that they'd seen the Badlands, that they didn't have to drive down into it. What they saw was absolutely nothing. They should have drove down into the Badlands. I had given them instructions how to do it, but unfortunately, they didn't do it. Hopefully, they get back up to South Dakota again someday so that they can actually see the Badlands, because they are absolutely stunning. I think you would enjoy them, you know, and whether you're on a motorcycle or driving a car around, I mean, you know, definitely check it out. You know, speaking of driving, I'm jumping all over the place here today, but, you know, like I said, it's a dismal, drab day outside, so what the heck, I'm just going to sit here and ramble at you. Back about 3 weeks ago, I took my car in to Lewis Toyota here in Topeka, Kansas, and I had problems with the heater and air conditioner, and also my driver's side window wouldn't roll down. Well, apparently they found out that a bracket that controlled the switch in between the heater and the air conditioner had busted, and at some point someone that had owned the vehicle before me had let someone work on this on this thing, and they had put the bracket back together with a fish hook. Well, not kidding, with a fish hook. So anyway, they got the bracket fixed so the, you know, heater and air conditioner worked, but they were still having problems with the window. The nice people at Lewis Toyota, so that I wouldn't be stranded, they gave me a loaner car, brand new 2022 Toyota Camry. And for the past 3 weeks, we have been driving around in that Camry because they can't figure out what's going on with my driver's side window. I guess apparently they have put in several switches that are just not working because of some module in there. They have tried to replace the window motor. That didn't work. They're trying one more time. They're going to get a used switch. They've tried two other used switches in there, and something is not reading from the switch to this module that controls the motor. And so they're going to put in one more used switch, see if they can get it to read, see if they can get it to work. If it does not work, then the only other option is to get this switch that cost $1,000. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not Elon Musk, and I don't have $1,000 in my wallet just to throw out there. It's already going to cost me around $600 for the heater work that was done. So I told him, I said, well, if this one don't work, I said, just go ahead, get the window in an upright position, and I said, I'll deal with that. And if I pull up to a drive-through or at the bank or something, I'll just open up the door. As long as I have heater and air conditioner, I'm fine. But I'm telling you what, right now I'm not going to put out $1,000 for a switch. That's just ridiculous. Why did anybody think it was more convenient to make electric windows in an automobile? I mean, seriously. Give me a crank window any day of the week. Give me that window crank. By God, I can roll it up. I can roll it down. I don't have to worry about switches going out. The worst thing I have to worry about in the entire world is the window falling off track. That's it. If the window falls off track, so what? I open up the panel on the door. I put the window back on track. I see why it fell off track, probably a loose screw somewhere. I adjust the screw, put the panel back on, and guess what? My window will roll up and down again. All I have to do is not be lazy and reach over there and crank it up, crank it down. I don't care how many computer chips you stick into an automobile, okay? Nothing will ever be as good as a good old-fashioned automobile that you can pull underneath a shade tree and that you can work on yourself. I honestly think that all these car manufacturers, made cars very complicated to work on so that you'd have to take them to the dealership so that it would cost you a ton of money to get it fixed. You know, fortunately, the dealership I took my Lexus to, they're good, honest people. They have honestly been trying. Shout out to Beth at the dealership. She's a service manager I've been dealing with there. And they've been over backwards to try to get this problem fixed for me. So my hat's off to Lewis Toyota, my hat's off to Beth. And the concierge Angel, poor Angel, she's had to take my calls every time I call and go, hey, what's going on with the car? But they've been really great people, and I really have no complaints over what they did. Like I said, they've gone over and above to do the right thing for me. So anyway, my shout out to them, and hopefully next time I talk to you, you know, I'll have the car back. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. So what else have I been up to besides working hard in the studio and creating skin art on people? Oh my goodness, I've been up to so much. Oh, I can't give away what this is in case a person is listening to this podcast because I want to be a surprise for them. But I am working on a very special painting right now. And I was working on it yesterday afternoon. I actually had kind of wanted to get it done yesterday, but I didn't quite get there. I am going to finish it up today. As a matter of fact, when I get done with the podcast, I am going to go work on this painting. It was really interesting. I was watching Ben-Hur with Charlton Heston while I was doing this painting. And I will tell you that the movie that I was watching was absolutely appropriate for the painting I was doing. Hint, hint, hint. Anyway, Rachel, you know, she's been battling cancer, and the chemo kind of kicks her butt a little bit to where she gets really tired and she has to lay down. Well, she got up right after I started the movie, and she come out to see what I was doing and to grab a drink of water and take some of her medicine. And she goes back in and she lays down. And about an hour and a half later, she gets up and she walks out into the front room. And, of course, Ben-Hur's still on. It's a 3-hour-and-42-minute movie. And she says, how long is this movie? And I hit pause, and I had watched 153 minutes of it. And she says, how long is it? I said, 3 hours and 42 minutes. And she just rolls her eyes. And she goes, can you pause it for a little bit so we can have dinner? I said, sure. So I paused it. We had dinner. She got up. She went back into her room. And I started the movie again and went back to my painting. And when the movie got done, I went in there and I said, she was kind of half awake and half asleep in the bed. And I said, hey, you want to come out to the front room for a while? And she says, as long as I don't have to watch Ben-Hur. I said, no, I'm going to watch the sequel now, Ben-Him. And she threw a pillow at me. I don't know why she threw that pillow at me. But anyway, I didn't get the painting finished last night. I sat there and really worked on it for quite a while. I got into a mood where I started singing songs from Jesus Christ Superstar. By the way, I know the whole opera from beginning to end. The whole thing, I can even imitate the voices of each single character as they sing. Don't ask me why, I don't know, but I can. And so I was just, as I was puttering around, as I'm working on this painting, I started singing different songs from Jesus Christ Superstar, and I went into the kitchen to put away the remnants of dinner, put them, you know, into Tupperware so we can have for leftovers, and I was in there singing another Jesus Christ Superstar song, and all of a sudden Rachel yells out, it's not in order. And I said, what? She says, the songs. You're singing the songs. They're not in order. I says, yeah, I know they're not in order. That was intentional. And she goes, intentional? I said, yeah, I just wanted to see if I could remember them out of order. And she's like, you're hopeless. There's no hope for you at all. Anyway, I finished up what I was doing last night on the painting. Like I said, I'm gonna try and finish it up today. You'll see it in a few days. I'm actually doing this as a surprise for someone, and yes, I'm giving away a painting. Can you believe that? Yeah, this will be a gift, and of course that's nothing new for me. I'm a professional artist and I sell my art, but I also believe that I should share my gift whenever I can. And a lot of times, you know, there's a couple of times during the year that I'll look for an excuse just to give away a painting. You know, no, don't start emailing me saying, hey, I'd be willing to get a free painting if you're looking for an excuse, because that's not how that works. The people that get free paintings from me, there's generally a really good reason why I do it. Now, I do like to give away a free painting around Christmas time every year, a free original painting. I like to do that. I'll hold some sort of contest, give that away. But, I mean, if you're really interested in a piece of free artwork by me, I have this thing called Free Art Fridays. So every Friday, I give away a free piece of art. Yep, that's right. You get a free piece of art every Friday. And the way that you get that free piece of art is fairly simple. All you have to do is sign up for our email newsletter. That's it. That's all you have to do. And you get the email on Friday. There's actually three emails that come every week. One is called At Needle's Point, and it deals with tattooing and piercing. One is called The Artist's Life, which deals with the artwork that I create, the fine art I create. And the other one is Free Art Fridays. And on Free Art Fridays, you find out what the code is for you to go try and get one of the free prints that I'm offering. They're a downloadable print. However, there's only 20 of them available, so you got to be fairly quick to try to get it. But anyway, I just like giving back, you know. God gave me this wonderful talent, and I like to share it with the world. I don't think I should just exclusively keep it to myself. Like I said, I am a professional artist, and I do sell my art, and, you know, it's a living. Along with the tattooing and piercing, it's a living. But whenever I can give back some of what has been given to me, hey, I'm all about that. There's no reason not to be. I mean, everybody in the world has a certain talent, something that they're really good at. Is there something that you're good at that you could take and give back to someone? You know, I don't care what it is, you know, how little the talent is. Surely there's something that you can do that you could give back to someone with. And think about it. You'd be surprised, and it just makes you feel really good inside, and not only makes you feel good inside, but it makes others feel good inside when you give a little of yourself to them. So that's something you should strive to do whenever the opportunity arises. You know, God blesses us all the time, and He gives us many blessings, and sometimes we realize it, sometimes we don't, but the blessings are always there. He's always given them to us. And if you can give back a blessing that you have been given in just whatever little way you can. I mean, it don't have to be exactly the same thing. If you were starving one time and someone gave you a sandwich, that's wonderful, you know. Give someone else a sandwich. But it don't necessarily have to be a sandwich. Maybe you got a spare coat that somebody could use. Give them a spare coat. Maybe there's a neighbor who needs their house painted. Can you take a Saturday and go down there and paint it for them because they're unable to do it? I mean, I'm just using those as examples, but there's a lot of things you can do. This past weekend, I was at ShareFest. That's the thing that takes place across Topeka, where a bunch of the churches in town get together, and they go to different schools, and they do upgrades to the school. I was over at Cap City, and Cap City High, it is a school for at-risk children. And when I was driving the school bus several years ago, I actually used to take Cap City kids back and forth to school. So Cap City has a place in my heart. So I was over there this past weekend helping out there. I help weed, and I use the air blower to blow off the patio out there. And other people were painting. And, you know, we were giving back. And what was funny was our minister, Connor Krause, from Topeka Bible Church, he had volunteered to power wash this wall out on the patio, and he was over trying to get the power washer started, and he's like yanking on that cord a good 15 minutes. He's out there. No, I don't think it was 15 minutes. So it was at least 5 minutes or so. He's yanking on the cord, and the power washer isn't starting. So I walked over there. I said, you need some help getting that started, Connor? He says, well, I got the choke pulled all the way out, and I reached down, and I turned on the switch. I said, try it now. And it started right up, and wished I would have had a camera to take a picture of his face, but Sometimes you just need a little help, right? So, we gave back this weekend at ShareFest. It was definitely a blessing. Anytime you can give back, I definitely strongly recommend that you do so. And it'll make you feel good, and it'll make others feel good, I promise you. But I guess I've rambled enough for, one podcast. I'm glad you stuck around and listened to my ramblings. That was nice of you. And, I keep telling you that I'll try to be more consistent with the podcast. I know I didn't have one last week. It seems like every other week I'm doing these podcasts. With my wife, Rachel, going through this breast cancer scare, her treatment, her chemo treatment, what have you. Sometimes it's hard for me to get on here on Monday afternoons, and then Tuesdays I'm usually busy taking care of personal business. So, sitting down Tuesday trying to do the podcast is almost impossible. Because the studio is open Wednesday through Sunday. So my time is really limited. I definitely want to do it every week, and I'm going to try to do it every week. I think I've figured out a way to schedule that to happen. But if I miss a week, don't hold it against me, okay? At least until after Rachel's done with her chemo treatment. Now, if I still keep skipping a week after she's done with her chemo treatment, she might say something to me, because then there's no excuse. But until that time, I'll try to do it every week. But if I don't, just forgive me, and please pop in every other week and listen to me ramble away. But until that happens, and until next time, this is your friendly neighborhood gypsy saying, may God bless and keep you and yours. Later, Gators. Bye-bye now. Visit the Rubber Biscuit Roadshow online at www.rubberbiscuit.com. That's www.rubberbiscuit.com. The Rubber Biscuit Roadshow is produced by Tatman Productions, LLC. All parts of this program are copyrighted, all rights reserved. No parts may be published, reproduced, or used without the written express permission of Tatman Productions, LLC.